Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. What a joy it is for us to be together. We have a wonderful group of elders at this congregation. Men not only are concerned for the brethren here, passionately involved in the work of the Lord here, but skilled in the pulpit, skilled in the classroom, able to help us learn about God. Help our paths to be right. Help our attitudes to be proper. They care about us. I wish it were possible for every person here to attend at least one elders' meeting and not be known that you were there. Because you would see the kind of love and the kind of passion that the people, the elders have for this church. You saw a good example this morning of the kind of men that we have. We're proud of these men. They're shepherds of the flock, and they're tending the church of God in a good way. Thank you, gentlemen. We have a wonderful group of mothers here. We have a lot of young mothers. We have young mothers. We have middle-aged mothers. We have grandmothers. We have widow ladies. I just took a picture of four of them and told you they looked like a beauty contest a while ago. It's a wonderful church. Aren't you glad to be part? Good. Toward the end of Jesus' life, some interesting things happen. He's going to die. Gethsemane awaits him. It'll be a passionate interview with God. Golgotha awaits him. He'll be hung on a cross. He will sweat tears like blood. He's our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Toward the end, after 2 days, was the Feast of the Passover, Mark 14. And unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Jesus by craft and put him to death. But they said not this feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment filled with spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this a waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And so whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial to her. I want to say something to you. I love this little lady. She's kind of special. It's easy to visualize, if you sit and meditate about it a little bit, about how she may have looked. She was not an old lady. She was probably a nice-looking person. One thing I figured out a long time ago that makes us all come together to look alike, and that is when somebody says something kind to somebody, or somebody brags on somebody, somebody says, I love you, they look the same as I do, and you do, and everybody else does. So this lady was like the rest of us. She was a great lady. She's there for a little memorial. Jesus knows he's about to go. They're there with all these people. Lazarus, who has just been raised from the dead. They're there with Simon the leper, who has just been cleansed. And they're having a feast, and all of a sudden in walks this lady. She has a flask. It's filled with spikenard, a very expensive ointment. And she broke it over his head, poured it over his head. I love this little lady. She has come from a bad past to a good present. She has come from sadness to gladness. I love her because she is just about to be who she is and nobody else. She has found out that being involved involves a risk. She has found out the true meaning of love. She is not concerned with what people think. She came to do something. May I say that again? She was not concerned about what people think. She came to do something. I just love her compassion. Break the top off that spikenard. Let it ooze out in her hand. She rubbed it on Jesus' head. And also, according to John, on his feet. And wiped his feet with her hair. She had come to do something. I love her for her compassion. I just love her strength of character. She's come a long way out of sin and ungodliness. I just love her for her determination to do what she could do. Most of all, I just love her because she has done what she could. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. That seems like a little bitty story, but it's a story that's so important to the Lord that he wanted told wherever the gospel preached. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to the whole nation. And he says here, wherever the gospel is preached, whatever nation is preached in, this story about this lady will be told. And I'm so happy to tell you about it tonight. I just love her. She has done what she could. Notice the circumstances, if you will, please. This was an ingenious, loving, premeditated act. She decided to do it. It was not a custom. It did not imitate any example. It was totally of her own initiative that she did it. Obviously, she hadn't spoken with anybody else about it. She didn't go and ask the apostles if she could do it. She came to do what she could, as I said a while ago. And she was about the business of doing it. We're sometimes so often concerned with little interpretations and formal gatherings and formal followings of commands, and they are important. Nobody denies that. But we know we need to not forget the little stuff. We need to learn, as one book says, to think small things, to be wise small. Somebody said that. It's so hard to be grateful, is it? No, it isn't. Is it so hard to be thankful? Certainly not. It's hard to be loving and respectful? She shows us. She tells us. She illustrates it for us. Christian love not only does good, but Christian love does lovely things, inviting things, careful things, small, wonderful, situational things. And please be advised, this kind of love does not count the cost. You do it whether somebody's looking or not. You do it whether you're going to be paid for it or not. Real true love, as Brother Mark has read for us in the song, reaches out without any hope of retribution. We're not trying to get anything, not reciprocation at all. We're doing it because we decided to do. This kind of love doesn't count the cost, but it's concerned more with the sheer excitement of giving. She has done what she could. Not a big deal, but she did what she could. Wouldn't it be good if that could be said of us when it's over? What if we got to the judgment day and God said, I'll tell you what you did, lady. You did what you could. He's going to be pleased with that. Secondly, it was a timely act. She didn't realize what she was doing. Jesus was about to die. As I said a while ago, Gethsemane is right around the corner. The path is going to be trod toward Golgotha's height. He'll be nailed on a tree. It's coming soon, and he knew it. She didn't know it. She came beforehand, though, to anoint the body of Christ, he said. It was beautiful. One of the tragedies of life. Let me just stop and say this. One of the tragedies of life is when we're given the opportunity to do good and fail to respond. I don't know about you, but I've done that over and over in my life. I've walked away from a situation and said, oh, I should have done this or that about that. I did nothing to help. I should have said something then. I could have helped then. Why didn't I do so? Should it be so hard to encourage somebody to do some good thing, even if it costs a little bit? Simple acts, timely performed, show the purest form of love. We need to have an impulse to say that special word. Could I ask you something? How long has it been since you told your wife, I like you? It's Mother's Day. What's wrong with just saying, I like you? You have to love her. What's wrong with telling her you like her? We need the impulse to say that special word. How long since you expressed appreciation to someone? I just wanted to hug Victor White's neck this morning and express my appreciation for the sermon. It was just so very well done. The impulse to give that special, unexpected gift. Jesus didn't know this was coming. She didn't advertise that she was bringing something special. She didn't call anybody and say to John or one of the others and say to them, I'm bringing a special gift for the Lord, so be sure and be there. She didn't do that. She walked in spontaneously and showed her love for the Savior. And in doing so, she pre-anointed his body for the burial. He said so. The Christian doesn't give because he's constrained to do so. Because that's how a Christian acts. That's why he gives. He looks for opportunities. She had done what she could. Can we say that? Can someone say that of you? I hope so. Thirdly, this was a public act. It was done regardless of criticism. She got some too, didn't she? But it was a public act. So many of us are worried about the consequences of serving Christ that diminishes our motivation to good deeds. We just shouldn't think about what people think about it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Say it. Live it. Be it. Don't wait for someone to get in the right spot and around the corner where somebody's listening. Mary was not ashamed of her feelings for Jesus. This may be seen in the fact that the criticism was not concerning her feelings for Jesus, but because of the waste. The old bag man who is going to deny the Lord and cause his crucifixion. Notice she unashamedly broke the flask, showing that she inclined to use every bit of it. That's another statement. It's amazing to me how much you can see in this if you just stop and look at it. It's an amazing book, amazing chapter about a little lady. And you just come to love her before it's all over. And it's really simple why you love her. She had done what she could. God help us that we all. Our gifts should always show our sincerity, not generosity. She wasn't doing that to show him how much she loved him. She gave a generous gift, but that wasn't the reason for the giving. The gift was totally free from any ostentatious sort of showing that she intended to make some impression on somebody. She gave it because she wanted to. Her heart told her to give it. Her love told her to give it. Her emotional sense said, I need to do something for the Lord. He did something for me. Lazarus was present when this was going on, you know. So our gifts should always show our sincerity, not just our generosity. Well, I looked at this all week long. And I thought to myself, it's fine to tell the story about this and tell people that you love the lady. But there needs to be some applications of this story to the present day's propensity to be making excuses for our lack of participation. We do that, you know. Some of us ask to be excused from active service in the vineyard because we can do so little. She couldn't do much. We don't know much about what she could do. She served Jesus, though. She did what she could. Mary was not concerned with how much or how little she could do, but rather with doing what she could. She had done what she could. Could that affirmation be made of me? Could the Lord say of me, He has done what He could? God help it to be so. Secondly, some of us ask to be excused or make excuses or refrain from service on the grounds that it might injure our social standing. May God help us to get rid of that. I preach sometimes about peer pressure. Peer pressure starts at the time you graduate from high school, right? Peer pressure starts when you're 3 years old is when it starts. If you're not careful, you'll try to please others as long as you live. You want to be respected by everybody. You want to be admired by everybody. So the peer pressure comes to influence you. Mary was not motivated by what other people thought, but by her love for the Lord. Let me say that again. That's a telling statement. Mary was not motivated by what others sought, by her love for the Lord. How could it possibly be different for us? We need to be motivated with these small acts. We need to talk to one another about Jesus. Oh, I know you believe in Him. You and I are brothers and sisters. I'm not going to tell you something new. All the time, we need to go up to one another and say, you did good, or I love you, or this is special, or this is good. Sometimes it even says you shouldn't have done that, but you say it with love. We need to be involved. We need to not be turned off by social standings and because we might make somebody feel bad because they hadn't done something. That's ridiculous. We should be more concerned first about our relationship to God before we consider our social standing and our social attainments. We better do that. Thirdly, some of us ask to be excused from service because others do so little or nothing at all. We do something. We look around and we say, I didn't need to be doing any more than I do. She didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. She's not even here. I have to emphasize once again, in the ultimate reality, Christianity is an individual matter. You need to do good whether anybody else does good or not. Whether it makes any difference to anybody else or not. It makes a difference to God. Don't we see that? Don't we see that if we do good, God is pleased. He looks down and said, you saw my neighbor he didn't have and you gave to him. Or you gave me this and you gave him. And they said, when did we do it? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. How wonderful. Our attitude should be the same. What others fail to do should in no way affect our determination to do what we can do. And could I say something to you about that? Nobody can do what you should do. You have to do it. Nobody can do it for you. That's one thing I love about this lady. She did what she could because she could do it. She understood she could do it. And she went and did it. And that's just very, very wonderful to think about. Well, let us learn from this simple narrative. What can we learn? We can learn, first of all, what Christ desires of us. He holds us responsible for doing with what we have, what we can, what we are. You can do what you can because of who you are. You can do it where you are because you're there. You can do it with what you have because you have something. Every one of us can do something with the things that God has given us. It's amazing to me to watch these ladies get ready for the Bible school. They can do things I couldn't do to save my life. It's amazing to me to hear people quote passages like Brother Mosby does, just going on and on. That's amazing. It's amazing to me to see what Brendan Mangum can do with the internet, make things. He made all these decals we have. It's amazing to me how people take care of one another. But you know what they're doing? They're doing what they can with what they have. He holds us responsible. He does not expect more than capable than what we're capable of doing, but he does expect us to do what we can. And it makes sense to do it that way because we're all part of a great network that comes together, and everyone has his little part. Everyone has a little part in the work of the church. And if we do what we can, everybody does what he can, this body comes together. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. We do these things together. We have fellowship with God. Things equal to the same things are equal to each other. If you have fellowship with him and I have fellowship with him, we both have fellowship with one another. So we need to do what we can with what we have. That's what it's all about. Let us do what we can. Well, a wonderful story that's at the root of what we've talked about tonight is that we can learn what is the motivation for real service. Motivation is what inspires us. Motivation is what drives us. And love is the imperial energy for use in all situations and circumstances. You know why she did what she could? She loved Jesus. Need I say any more? She loved Jesus. Why do you do what you can? Because you love somebody, just like she did. Why did Jesus do what he did? Because he loved me. And because he loved you, he did that. She had done what she could. What an awesome statement that is. She has done what she could. Love, the imperial energy for use in all circumstances and situations, makes no difference where you are. Pure love produces pure actions because it's the motive. It's what drives your activity. So if it's pure, then your actions become pure. If you're looking for the love of Jesus Christ, you're going to say loving things to these people. Real love, please be advised when I say this. Real love, pure love, has no room for procrastination. Had she put this off 1 week, she would have not had the opportunity. She even went with spices to anoint the body of Jesus after he died. Almost the smell of the spikenard still in the air. She did what she could when she could. And true love acts that way. It has no time for procrastination. She knew the time was right. They came to the place where they were having this meal, probably reclined, all of them ready to eat. And she comes in and makes a marvelous attestation of her love for Jesus, of her respect for what he's done. Can we do any less? We can learn that high love reacts to situations spontaneously, out of pure habit. Some of the most wonderful things I've ever had happen to me happened spontaneously. I got up from the airplane seat and walked over, and a lady handed me a note. Said, "You not only told them you were a preacher, but you acted like it." I felt so good. I still get goosebumps when I get that. I still have the note. We just do what we can with what we have where we are, and then let it happen. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. If somebody reacts spontaneously in a good way, that's fine. There's nothing better than serendipity, a new kind of situation that just evolves all of a sudden like the flower of a plant. And all of a sudden it's something beautiful. Spontaneity works that way. The high love reacts to situations spontaneously. And it's habitual. She had done what she could. She'd been doing that a long time. Finally, from this narrative, we learn what good is. Good is a word that describes someone who is good. Good is a word that describes someone who, out of the love of his heart, has done his best. I hear somebody say, well, that's good. If it's good, it's high and noble and fine. This good is the kind of love that is there to do your best all the time. Anyone can do his best. You hear me say that? Anyone can do his best. And when he does, he not only glorifies God, but he shows all concern that he's good and what is good and when it's good. She had done what she could. Did I tell you why I love that little lady? Listen again. I just love her for her compassion. I just love her for her strength of character. I just love her for her determination to do what she could. And I'm so glad on this May evening in 2019, many hundreds of years after it happened, I'm so glad that I can stand in front of you and say, she had done what she could. We're going to offer an invitation now. Can you do what you can with what you have tonight? Come confess your faith in Christ. Can you be baptized into him? Have you done what you could? It's up to you. If you've been walking in paths of unrighteousness, don't you think it's time you made a little choice, just a small one? I'll tell you what you can do. You can ask God to forgive you. You can come forward. We can pray for you and with you. We'll be glad to do that. If there is in your life some duty to God that you haven't cared for, I beg you, please do what you can while we stand and sing.